Yes. Once again, welcome everyone to the second day of your retreat. We will take today as the foundation of our lecture text 8 of the Nectar of Instruction. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We will do it a little fast. Tannama rupa charita di sukirtananu. Smrit yokramena rasana manasi niyoja. Tishtan braje tadanuragi jananugami. Kalang nayat akilamit yupadesha saram. Tannama rupa charita di sukirtananu. Smrit yokramena rasana manasi niyoja. Tishtan braje tadanuragi jananugami. Kalang nayat akilamit yupadesha saram. Tannama rupa charita di sukirtananu. Smrit yokramena rasana manasi niyoja. Tishtan braje tad anuragi jana anuragi. Kalang nayat akilamit yupadesha saram. Sorry, because of time, we will go directly to the translation and purport. Essence usually means it's the core of something. You cannot do without it. If you don't have the essence, but only the shape, then you don't have the real thing. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braj, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Yes. Hare Krishna. Let us briefly go through the elements of the text. But it's maybe best to first start with Prabhupada's purpose. Definitely it's best. Since the mind may be one's enemy or one's friend, one has to train the mind to become his friend. Very good, huh? It's either the friend or the enemy. So you have to decide, do I want to live together with a friend or an enemy? It's an easy decision. Life becomes free from troubles if you live with a friend. So train the mind to become your friend. This is the idea here. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions, not only of this one life, but also of many, many lives of the past. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for a conditioned soul. Students of psychology are aware of the mind's various psychological changes. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Yang yang vapi smarang bhavang tvajat Yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatat bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. At the time of death, the mind and intelligence of a living entity create the subtle form of a certain type of body for the next life. If the mind suddenly thinks of something not very congenial, one has to take a corresponding birth in the next life. On the other hand, if one can think of Krishna at the time of death, he can be transferred to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. This process of transmigration is very subtle. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be unable to remember anything other than Krishna. Nothing else. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and taste only Krishna prasad. Srila Rupa Goswami further advises Tishtan Braje, one should live in Vrindavan or any part of Brajabhumi. Brajabhumi, or the land of Vrindavan, is supposed to be 84 kroshas in area. One krosha equals 2 square miles. So 84 times 2 means 168 square miles. May I just know how much is the property of Radha Desh? How much square miles? 47 hectares. Hectares or acres? Hectares. That's a lot. For most of us, this may not say a lot, but I can think in hectares and 40, that's a lot. I mean, isn't it? It's a vast area. Oh my God, I didn't know we have so much land. Up and down or around? No.
Because it's quite, it's not so wide, it's long. It's a long
long stretch of land. I see. Oh, yeah. More than 2 kilometers long. Wow. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. So, maybe you want to take a walk. I mean, the devotees who are here and have a guide show you so that you get an idea how big Vrindavan is in comparison. It's a lot, actually. A lot of devotees can fit in there. That's the point here. The text really is very, very thought-provocative. It says the essence of advice, you know, that's really the essence of our particular path here is that a total brain cleaning must be done. 24-hour, this you do by 24 hours a day, nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental forms and qualities and eternal pastimes. And the best place really to do this is in Vrindavan, Brajadham, and you need guidance in this. So you take, actually, it's often said, two types of devotees. One is in the eternal spiritual world, a devotee who relates directly to Krishna, and the other is here on our level, you take a devotee's guidance. And that's what you do. You leave the material world completely. You leave it in both actual life. You move actually physically out of Belgium and out of Germany and out of America and move into Vrindavan and you just chant and you remember Krishna and you follow the guidance of accomplished devotees. Stop. No problem. No more material life. That's the idea of this text and it's the essence. So Prabhupada gave I've read to you the purport of parts of the purports of Srila Prabhupada. I would also like to read to you Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's comment on this verse. One who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulative principles, namely chanting and remembering Krishna and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and so forth. In this way, after developing a taste for such things, you know, when you have really become, if you really have a taste for this chanting, then one should try to live in Vrindavan. You know, move. Pack your things, Baba. One should try to live in Vrindavan and pass his time constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, and qualities under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. This is the sum and substance of all instruction regarding the cultivation of devotional service. So from two acharyas, our own Srila Prabhupada and then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we have heard that this text is something which we should do. It's not something which we should only think about. It's an instruction. They are serious. They want us to remember Krishna always and be in an atmosphere of Vrindavan. And they are serious about it. They repeat it. It's the same instruction. We have heard, and that is an ancient advice, if it is not possible to do that last part, that is to move to Vrindavan, maybe there are health reasons, maybe you can't get a visa, or you know, there are other reasons which prevent you from going, then at least in your mind you must go to Vrindavan and live there mentally by remembering the different holy places in the forests. My dear devotees, if you really think about this essence of all advice, it is something which is, I mean, worthwhile to think about it. If you would be in the workshop now, I would ask you to turn to your neighbor and ask you to discuss this. What do you think about this? But because we are in a lecture, and that should be maintained, that traditional format, I will just ask you to think a little bit about it now. Chanting all the time the holy name, and if you can't do that, then you have to practice that, so that gradually you will develop taste, and when the taste is there, then you can make your move. You could live in Vrindavan under the guidance of an expert devotee. What do you think about this program? You look at me, that means you don't think. You want to hear what I think, but I leave you to your thoughts for a moment. I will just pay my obeisances to Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Samadha Bhakti Vedanta Swami. I remember when I was preaching in the Namhata program, I came once to a Namhata temple in Wiesbaden, that's in central Germany, and gave a class, and I noticed there were two young people who looked quite, I would say, you know, like people you don't forget when you see them. Intelligent, strong personalities and characters. And after the lecture, it was a young couple, they asked to speak to me. And I received them in a room, the preaching room of the Namhata Center. And I was curious why they wanted to speak to me. Well, you know, when there are some people, when there are people who are strong in character and personality, and they want to speak to you, you are naturally asking yourself, what could it be that, what they want to be? Maybe they will criticize me, or you know. No, I thought, well, they will maybe invite me to their university and to give a talk there. But I was wrong. We talked, and then all of a sudden, the lady who was obviously the leader in the cup amongst the two, she was, you know, one of these peng ladies, asked me, and she just fixed me in her gaze. You know, she looked directly at me. She asked me, "Do you know who you are?" And it was like a question, yes or no, you know. And somehow I don't like to lie in life. I sometimes lie, but I really don't like it. I like to be as honest as possible. And I said, not yet. But I hope to know my spiritual identity by practicing Krishna consciousness under the guidance of my spiritual master. So you remember, it was about 4 months later I received a postcard. It was a Krishna postcard. And the text was something like, you remember we met in Wiesbaden and I had a question. I would like to repeat the question. Do you now know who you are? And I still have the postcard because I think it's an important question. And I wrote back some outline of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that the identity of the soul is inherent, and by practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, it will manifest gradually, like a tree which is inherent in a seed will manifest gradually by pouring water on it. And I said, when we meet next, we can talk in detail about it. So I met the young couple again, and eventually they became my disciples, although I didn't know, and I still don't really know 100% who I am. I have some ideas, which I will not tell you. And later, it was in Radhakund, I met this couple again. They were my disciple. And this lady, a very sincere lady, not I said she was a Peng lady. Peng means this big sound, you know. No, she was and is very serious in the life. The lady asked me, "Do you now know who you are?" It's a disciple, and I was already 28 years in Krishna consciousness, and I had to say, not yet. I had to be honest. And then that split happened. This lady took initiation in another Vaishnav tradition where the guru tells his disciple a certain identity, with how the personality looks, the spiritual personality, and a certain many things, many details, even though the person has not yet realized it, this identity. The idea of this process is you just act as if, then one day you appropriate, that means you come closer and closer to this identity, and one day you are this identity. In my eyes, I mean, I don't want to be polemic this morning, but the little funny part of it is, if it doesn't fit you, then it's they change it. You know, they give you try this one, you know. But let us not laugh about other processes. But I think it is a little problematic, but that's all I want to say about this process. Do you know who you are? This was the question. I want to ask the question to you. Do you know who you are? I don't obviously mean, I'm a man, I'm a 38 years old, I'm a student. These are upadis, these are labels which you put on the pure soul. They are not your identity. Let me ask you another question. Do you think it's at all important, Shyamasaki, that you know who you are?
or is this not important? I think it's important, because if you do not know who you are, you may do the wrong things. You know, you may do the wrong things and live a life. I mean, in Krishna consciousness, bong, it's dramatic, I know. In Krishna consciousness, and here I want to now be a little bit philosophical with you. In our process, we say, yes, we know who you are. You are for sure a servant. That's 100% correct. So let us now engage in devotional service, and you will never do the wrong thing. It's always right. And as you go through the process, you will know what exactly is your identity as a servant. There are five steps, and I think it's now very important that you listen to it, because these five steps will be very important in your own retreats. The first step is called Shravana Das. Here you hear about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Then comes Varanadas. Varanadas is, you don't just listen to this, but you, it's a stage of acceptance. You accept it. You make it your own. And here the necessity comes for personal guidance. You will take a spiritual master. In our movement, we very quickly run to Srila Prabhupada's shelter, all young bhaktas, huh? And we will now learn and accept in that the relationship of guru-disciple. Then, immediately after this acceptance, comes what is called sadhana das. What you do is on this level is you practice, and it's an attempt for realization. Here the attempt for realization starts. Huh? It's something you do with discipline. It's like taking, for a person who is not healthy, taking medical treatment. This stage, my dear devotees, is a stage where there is struggle going on, because you still have your conditioned nature. I think you know this. Today, I noticed... I will make it simple. Here, you have accepted a philosophy. You know somehow it's right, it suits me. From the innermost corner of my heart, I feel the confirmation. This is my path. And as we walk on this path, we see so many signs from Krishna which confirm our initial faith. But still, because we are not realized, we have to struggle. We have to struggle with the mind, for instance. We have to struggle with various obstacles on our path. We have to struggle to maintain our original determination. It's the sadhana dasa stage. I have a very good news for you. You're not struggling alone. No, this, with this I don't mean the men laugh now, and I know why you laugh. You laugh because you think I'm saying you're not the only one with mixed emotions. I mean, when I say you're not alone, Krishna is there. And Krishna sees every little thing you are trying on this path. He knows your love and your realization is not yet mature, so he keeps himself hidden, because you wouldn't be able to see him or bear his effulgence which goes. You remember when we heard yesterday how Krishna walked through the forested areas to come to Avantipura. People where he was walking next to Balaram, who has a white complexion. People were just saying, is this the source of all light? Is this the Brahmajyoti walking? And then they saw Krishna. They saw Krishna is dark, but at the same time, is he personified darkness, or he's also so effulgent, or is he that all the light which there is? So these people were exalted souls who were there and who could lovingly relate to the Lord. But we are what we are. So Krishna keeps himself hidden. He just gives you a few signs and sometimes some wonderful prasadam and good instructions through the mouth of the different devotees. He gives you learning opportunity which he arranges for you so that you can wake up. He gives you a longing in your heart so that you don't give up on your path back home, back to Godhead. He watches you. Krishna is speaking about this. When the soul finally comes back, he says, I was with you all the time, but you did not always see me. So then comes the next stage after this sadhana das, which is a long, 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 long stretch. Then comes apana das, the stage of realization. This happens while you are still here in this world. And later comes prapana das. It's after you have left your body, after you have fully surrendered to Krishna, you will adopt your spiritual identity. It's called Vastu Siddhi, and become an associate of the Lord. At that time, Krishna greets you. He says to you, "Oh friend." Ah, you are the friend of God. Wonderful. "I have been carefully studying you. I have been holding the storehouse of immense Krishna conscious taste, rasa, for you. You alone have the rights to have it. You have rejected me earlier, and then you fell under the spell of my energy of illusion. But I have not given you up. Continuously, I have shown great regard for you. As you have attained this now by your own efforts, I'm extremely pleased." Krishna so nicely says, "You came to me with your own efforts, your struggle." It's not really true. Krishna helped us all the way, but he says, "You did it. Serve my ever fresh." pleasurable form and play with me in the endless ocean of bliss. Do not fear and do not lament, because you have attained the eternal life full of bliss. For my sake, you have cut all the chains of your material attachments." You know, it may have started with cigarettes, then you have cut your attachment to expensive clothes and fashion. You know, one by one you all cut it. "I will never," says Krishna, "I will never be able to repay the depths of love which you have shown to me. Now, be naturally satisfied in your seva, in your service." This is coming from Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, the concluding words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. My dear devotees, you might wonder, how will you come to this stage where you are person, where you are in your spiritual identity, welcomed by Krishna in the spiritual world, given your eternal service, and swim in the ocean of bliss, the ever fresh exchanges with Krishna. How will this happen to you? How will this come about? Do you sometimes think about these things? Some of you not that. These are usually the young devotees. These and the very old devotees, everyone in the middle is atrophied. You should think about this. It's your right to have this. Now, how will this happen? How will you come to this? A little while ago, we visited Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house in Navadvip, a group of devotees. We went by boat. Maybe I will be able to show you some slides of our boat journey. It was a memorable boat journey. No one fell into the water. We all reached the place we wanted to reach. And there we read a text of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Thakur explains how we will realize who we are. He says, he gives an example. He says that the holy name will reveal more and more things to us as we learn to chant it properly. His process is, and really, Bhaktivinoda Thakur broke here with the tradition in which his initiating guru stood. His initiating guru had said, "You must remember a spiritual identity, and you must work with that. Here it is for you, and then you will realize who you are." No? This was the process. But he seemed to have taken another line. He said, "No, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you chant the holy name, and as you chant, the holy name will reveal everything you need to know on your spiritual path, including who you are, and then take you to Vrindavan, to the eternal kingdom of God, where you will engage in your devotional service." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the next guru after Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, wrote once in a letter to his disciple how, by chanting the holy name, everything will be revealed to you, including your spiritual form. And I would like to summarize this letter for you. Are you interested in this?
Yes.
Good. So listen very carefully, please. The first step you must obtain is you must learn to chant without offenses. We will have a beautiful workshop today on this subject. As you chant and you go into this chanting attentively, do you remember yesterday how we chanted with this full focus on one mantra, and how we entered through, what was it? The first Hare, huh? We connected all our attention with which each first Hare, and kept our attention as long as possible. And you know, I have seen you chanting before. I saw you yesterday. I know some of you were fatigued, which you always are. You eat normal food in your daily life, and then you come to Radhadesh and you get all these sweets and these bakeries, and then you can't control the tongue, and then you get into a comatose position and a little rest. But even though some of you struggled, I noticed there was a wonderful atmosphere and so on. What happens while you do this is when you chant Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, you realize your spiritual form. What that means in the beginning is you realize that you are separate from the gross and the subtle body. You realize I'm not my physical body with all the organs inside. I'm also not my mental, you know, my mind with all the different passing cloud-like thoughts. You begin to actually see, no, I'm a spiritual person, and you begin to actually feel this. And at that moment, you can realize something of Krishna's transcendental form. You first, in other words, need to understand who you are as a soul, you know, in a general way, and then you can understand something about Krishna's form. And then the holy name reveals to you your exact spiritual form, and you become very, very attracted to Krishna's form, full realization. In other words, the holy name gives you first a general understanding, I'm not the body. Then the holy name makes it clear what Krishna's form is. I noticed some of you looked yesterday on Radha Gopinath, and you were just full of love, and you were rooted to the floor, because one becomes just attracted. Did you see yesterday Gopinath in his night dress? That was so good. He looked like a gallant prince, really, and Radharani did not look so ravishingly. You know, she's a little composed, a little shy in public, a little covered and all. But she looked awesome. I mean, wow, there was a darshan yesterday. And we all became so attracted and could understand that this is not a form of this world. There is something spiritual happening. Let's look. Let's sing. And so on. And so then you become attracted to Krishna's form. Then the holy name reveals the qualities of the living entities. That means how you are, you know, what your particulars are. And then it causes you to be attracted to Krishna's qualities. In other words, you realize more of his merciful nature, more of his gratefulness, more of his beauty. The holy name reveals to you first your spiritual activities, and then causes you to be attracted to Krishna's activities. And then the holy name reveals to you your service. So by serving the holy name, my dear devotees, we don't mean only the service of chanting. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, know all the other services to Krishna which one has as a soul. So by serving the holy name with body, mind and soul, the direction of your eternal service becomes spontaneously revealed and manifested like the sun in the clear sky of the chanter's heart. Hare Krishna. The holy name, in other words, will rise in the horizon of your heart and will shine into your heart and give you all these realizations. Who you are, What is your form? What is Krishna's form? Your qualities. What are Krishna's qualities? Your spiritual activities. What are Krishna's spiritual activities? And your service. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ends this letter. It is unnecessary to write anything further on this subject. Everything is said. All these things will be revealed through chanting. A couple of years ago, I met this unusual spiritual searching lady. And she asked me, "Do you now know who you are?" I said, "Sit down now. I will tell you something." I was now very sure. I said, and you know, it was a whole package. I said, "My dear so-and-so." She really sat down. "Okay, my dear Sachinandan Swami, I have to tell you, I know very deeply inside my heart, after having also studied different alternatives to this path, that the chanting of the holy name reveals more and more of our identities. Because you have left this path, I will not talk to you about my personal realizations, because I'm not so happy that you left the path, and you know that. I think we should be faithful to what Krishna has given us. But one thing I can tell you, something is beginning to become clear. Not by my mind." And then I said, "So now fasten your seatbelt. Well, you have left this path. Do you know who you are?" It was a very sincere person. It's not that this was someone who was playing around. German lady, you know, German. A laser person. "Don't lie to me. Do you know who you are?" "I have asked you a question. Answer." It's really becoming uncomfortable. "Well, I have heard I'm such and such, and my service is such and such. Don't bring mental theories. Tell me who you are. I can think also a lot. I'm more creative than you. You know this." "We are not interested in mental concept at this moment." "Then what should I do?" "Good that you asked me. It's the first time you asked me this question." You know, and then I said many things. You should start chanting. You should avoid the offenses. You should hear about Krishna from the authorized sources in the pastimes. And you will, it will be revealed to you. I met this person a little while ago, last year. And I asked, "So how are you doing?" And the person said, "It works. It works. Thank you very much." There's tears in their eyes, and was very, very, very happy. So I want to also say to you, sometimes on this path, Prabhupada says, disturbances come. But the agonies and anxieties of the devotee are at once mitigated when they think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His beautiful form or the smiling face of the Lord. You should remember,
Krishna smiles at your struggles. He knows that's necessary, but Krishna is with you as a dear friend is with another dear friend. He sits in your heart. He is on the altar. When you come before him, he knows who you are. He knows what you are going through in your attempt for realization. And he is kindly supporting you in your on your path. Without Krishna, everything would be a little bit too much struggling. But if you remember, when the disturbances come, when even agonies and anxieties come, when you remember Krishna or his deity form and the smiling face of the Lord, that is very important on this path. You must remember Krishna is smiling. He's so merciful. You know Arjuna? Have you heard about this? He was in trouble when he came to the battlefield. Should I stay or should I go? You know, that was a big decision he had to make, you know. And what did Krishna do? Do you remember, Syamasaki? He smiled. But not, it was not a ha-ha smile, you know. It was a smile. Switchy bitty oredu, it will be all right. No, don't worry, you know, don't worry. It will be all right. Just seva, seva, do service. Everything will become clear by this. And this service, my dear devotees, please now listen. If you forget everything, remember this. This service really, in the beginning of the service, the middle of the service, and the end of the service, it's Nam Seva, Nam Seva, Nam Seva. In the beginning, you do your chanting of the holy name, and that is still a little immature. At that time, the holy name will also not reveal so much to you. The holy name will be like a bud. Bud means a flower in its potential form. It looks a little greenish and in unassuming, let us say a good word, you know. But as you stay on the path and you follow the practice, the holy name will reveal himself more and more until finally you see the whole lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Lotus feet of Krishna means everything else you also see. You know, it will unfold to you. Simultaneously, your spiritual form and your own spiritual characteristica will be unfolded. It really works. These are not lies. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada and the line on the Mahaprabhu, they tell us a very concrete path. So I really request you to become a little bit now more focused in your retreat. I saw yesterday, I was a little bit watching you. You were just arriving. Some of you were still a little bit tired of the world also and what you had experienced. I request you, please now focus a little bit more. That means you need to manage your time better. Don't stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning because everything is so new and exciting. Rest nicely. Try even while you're here to make it for Mangal Arati. It's really good. It's really spiritual. But at the same time, I want to really request you, rest enough, give yourself time enough, walk in the nature, breathe the good spring air, and so on. You need to be fit for this, and so on. It's now 9 o'clock. I will not be able to take questions at this time, but we have every evening a question and answer session of 20 minutes.
That's in the starting at 6 o'clock in the community hall. So if you have questions at this time in your mind, it's good to note them down so that they will remain fresh and ready for the question and answer session. I also like to sometimes leave a gap between questions because you can think in this time also, and then it will be easier for you to understand the answers. Everything will be a little bit developed within you. So I thank you very much. I wish you a good digestion for your breakfast. And we will see each other at 11 o'clock in the community hall. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Gaura Nitai ki, Gaura Premanandi, Hari 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 Bo. Hare Krishna.